Grace to you and peace in the name of our great, loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The typical gospel reading for Thanksgiving is the lesson I read before about the 10 lepers, but I've preached on that about 100 times. So tonight I chose a different text for our meditation this evening. It's from Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." This is our text. A number of weeks back, my wife asked me if I was going to do my usual run of the turkey trot for Thanksgiving this year. And I told her, no, because we need to go to church that day. And then she asked me, "Well, is the turkey trot on Sunday morning this year?" And I said, "No, it's on Thanksgiving Day like it always is." And she said, "Well, won't we have gone to church the night before?" And I said, "Yes, we will have, but the girls won't. They have a James Bay concert that night. It's where they are right now." And I said to Potch, well, Potch said to me, "Well, do they really need to go?" Wrong question to ask a pastor. And I said, "Yes, that's what Thanksgiving is all about. Thanking and worshiping God. To give thanks necessitates an object, someone to thank. And for us, we know that someone is God. There is no Thanksgiving without taking time out to thank and worship and praise God. There may be a nice family gathering, some great food to eat, some good football, hopefully, to watch. But there isn't a Thanksgiving without God. 9 of the 10 lepers who were healed of their leprosy by Jesus forgot that. They just went on with their lives as if nothing had ever really happened. Only the one healed leper, and he was a Samaritan, came back to honor and worship and thank Jesus. Now, you know, perhaps the others, who were most likely Jews, thought that it was their birthright to be favored and healed by God. I mean, after all, they were God's chosen people. So maybe they just felt entitled to God's blessings. And if so, no thanks would have really been recognized or expressed. I mean, who thanks someone for what is owed to them? But the Samaritan leper knew that God didn't owe him anything. The Jews made sure that he knew that he wasn't owed anything long before he ever had leprosy. And thus, he felt graced and blessed beyond measure when Jesus healed him. And so he threw himself down at Jesus' feet, which is a sign in the Eastern culture of greatest humility and gratitude. And he thanked him. The woman in our sermon text this evening from Luke 7 did something similar. Scripture tells us that she was a woman who had lived a sinful life. Now that can mean any number of things, but it probably means that she was a prostitute. She was painfully aware that she was an outcast from normal Jewish society and was probably informed by those around her on a regular basis that there was no place for her in God's kingdom. She no doubt knew that God didn't owe her anything. But she had also no doubt heard Jesus preach and teach about God's love and his forgiveness. The idea that God loved her and could forgive her caused her to come to Jesus in humble gratitude, to thank him for not holding her sins against her and for helping her to start a new life. She wet Jesus' feet with her tears, and she wiped his feet with her hair, and she kissed his feet, and she poured perfume on them. One can only imagine the weight of the burden that this woman had been carrying around with her. A weight that Jesus had now lifted from her, which explains the depth and the breadth of gratitude that this woman felt toward Jesus. The Pharisee at whose home Jesus was dining was disturbed by this emotional display and disgusted that Jesus would let this woman of ill repute touch him. He saw no need to grovel at Jesus' feet and didn't want such a woman in his home doing such a thing either. Nor did he want Jesus allowing this woman to do that. For Simon, who was a Pharisee, could not imagine ever being that indebted to God. Because, you see, he lived a clean life, an obedient life. And whatever blessings he received from God were merited by his faithful keeping of God's law. Or so he thought. Jesus went on to explain the emotional and extreme nature of this woman's actions and her gratitude by stating this: her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. She bowed down to Jesus' feet, and she washed his feet, and she kissed his feet, because there was no other way for her to show the depth of her gratitude and humility than at the feet of Jesus. When was the last time that you spent time at the feet of Jesus? I hope that's why you're here this evening. I'm afraid that sometimes we begin to think and act like the ungrateful lepers, or like Simon the Pharisee, as if we are entitled to a blessed life, because after all, we're Christians. In fact, we feel so strongly at times that we actually get angry with God when things don't work out in our lives the way we want them to work out, as if we're being deprived of something that we are owed. In those times, we need to be reminded of David's words. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Or Paul's words. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. Or James' words. Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Or John's words, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves if we think that we are deserving of any of God's gifts in the slightest. From start to finish, front to back, head to toe, we are that Samaritan leper, or that sinful woman. By virtue of our sin, we deserve to be separated from God forever. But Jesus has paid for our sins. And Jesus has forgiven our sins by going to a cross and dying there, suffering for our sins. We are freed from the penalty of our sin, freed to spend an eternity with Him in heaven, because He died and He rose for us. Therefore, at the feet of Jesus is where we need to be tonight, and every night, and every day, thanking Him for His gracious blessings to us. This is what Thanksgiving is really all about. May we each live with such humble gratitude every single day of our lives, loving much because we have been forgiven much. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.